Welcome to the Chronically Healthy Life Show. When you hear the word chronically, do you automatically associate it with chronic disease? I know we all do. It's been so programmed right into us. But what if we flip the whole idea on its head? Let's discover how we can create chronic health in our bodies, in our minds, our finances, our relationships, and of course, in our lives. Let's jump right on in. I'm Andy, and joining me in everything is Minna.
So I would say we're pretty much in summer, right? I mean, the high temperature today is like 99 degrees. I would say that's pretty hot.
Yeah.
So, you know, what do you like to eat in summer?
Well, when it's this hot, you know, I like to eat something that's cool and refreshing. I think summer is great time for eating fresh fruits and vegetables that are both refreshing and nutritious.
You know, like watermelons, cucumbers, stuff like that?
Yeah, I think those are probably some of our favorites, and we're actually growing some of them in our backyard, and we grew a lot of watermelons last year. I don't know about this year. I think this year, actually, I'm growing cantaloupes. I don't even remember what the seeds are I threw in there. Something's growing, so we'll see what pops up.
They're really easy to grow, right?
Sun, water, and soil. Yeah, you know, they're actually not that hard to grow. You know, of course, depending on where you are, the climate's going to be different, but, you know, I think I'm getting a hang of it. You know, it's been 2 years, things are growing, they're not dying on me.
Well, you're the farmer in the family, so what do we grow in summer?
So, in summer, we try to grow, like, cucumbers, zucchinis. I know we're going to have a lot of eggplants. I got, like, three different varieties. Those are great for summer, and right now, I got, like, a gazillion types of tomatoes, and they're great for making ketchup. We're making tomato jam. We're making tomato sauce. And we're just making all these different ways of how to figure out how to use these tomatoes so we can keep them to be used later during the year.
Well, I do like some of the summer vegetables. I mean, we grill them, we cook them, we boil them. Sometimes we just eat them raw. But, you know, summertime, my kryptonite is ice cream. Gelatos, ice cream sorbets, frozen yogurts, you name it, I love them all. And, you know, it's actually really easy to make ice cream at home. And, you know, just look up recipes online. You can find a tons of awesome ice cream recipes. And depends on whatever flavor you like, just, you know, throw into ice cream maker and it's done.
That's so true. And make sure you're using great ingredients. You know, a lot of it asks for eggs, throw in an organic egg. A lot of it asks for fresh fruits. You know, buy what's in season. I think that makes a big difference on how it's going to taste. And if you're going to have a kryptonite food like ice cream, trying to make it as nutritious as possible, right?
And of course, with the sugar, like I said before, we replace it with monk fruit sugar, which makes it, it doesn't change the flavor profile of the ice cream itself, but it does lower the glycemic index of the ice cream, which makes it a little bit healthier for you and your kids.
Oh, for sure. We love monk fruit sugar. We put it in everything. We replace anything with sugar, anything that we bake, not that we bake a lot. But even in cooking, we use monk fruit sugar. This time of year, we love our smoothies. You know, when we make our smoothies, I love using our vegetarian organic base. That's really equivalent to like 3 to 4 organic salads. So I got my salads taken care of. I don't need to worry about eating salads. No chewing involved. And then I throw in a handful of previously frozen organic fruits. And, you know, that helps. It gives a little bit of sweetness. And it's just so refreshing to drink, right?
Yeah, you know, we buy a lot of fruits, organic fruits, when they're in season. Because they're actually cheaper. And they're in season, they're actually great to eat. They taste great. And we usually don't finish all everything that we bought. So we just freeze them. And throughout the year, we use them into smoothies.
And, you know, it's a really great concept. You know, we didn't think about it back in the day. But now, we have 2 freezers. And both of them 3/4 full of frozen pomegranate, frozen
blueberries,
strawberries, pineapple, mango, like everything that's in season. And we do that because if you've been following the news recently, there's this major mass recall of strawberries that's happening across the United States from Costco, Walmart, and even our local stores, HEB stores. And they're contaminated with hepatitis A. We don't want that, right? So ideally, grow whatever you can, and whatever you can't grow, you know, buy it fresh from your local supermarket.
Yeah, this hepatitis thing, the contamination, that happens pretty much every year, right? It's
yeah.
always something, and usually either fruits or vegetables.
Exactly. That's why we always freeze our own. And, you know, when it comes down to summer, everyone, like Nina says, is into ice cream, popsicles, candies, whatever your guilty pleasure is. But, you know, all these sugar sweets, they really cause a disbalance in your gut, giving you more bad bacteria. And we're going to talk about that in our biohack soon. So what we recommend is to nourish your good bacteria by having more fiber. And in these smoothies, we always add a little bit of fiber just to balance out our gut bacteria.
What is a good fiber to add?
Well, good fibers, usually you can get it from, you know, from your vegetables, leafy greens. Banana is a good fiber when it's more on the green side, not too much of a good fiber when it's on the yellow side. So there's a lot of good fiber, you can get good fiber. There's a lot of good fiber mixes that you can use too, if you want to be just simple, just a scoop of that,
like right?
The powder that we use. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So like smoothies for us is actually a meal replacement. So we drink a smoothie instead of a meal. So, you know, when you have a meal, you have your proteins, your fibers and all that. And we make sure the smoothie has the same nutrition value.
Exactly. You know, we actually change our smoothies into a complete meal by throwing these super amino acids. And it's like a complete protein. It's like drinking a 4-ounce steak. You know, it sounds nasty, but it actually tastes really good with all the added fruits and everything.
It doesn't taste like 4 ounce
steak. It does not taste like a 4-ounce steak. Right. But, you know, it's also great when you're taking nutritional supplementation because it's so hard to get all the all your vitamins and minerals from your food. So it's so much easier to swallow those larger pills. Some of those things are huge, especially like the omega-3 pills, right?
Yeah, I mean, the omega-3 pills are big. You know, when I was a kid, I used to have to take those iron pills.
Yes.
Because I was anemic. And they're ginormous, like,
yeah,
this big. I wish I had smoothies back then because, like, it always gets stuck in the throat and it just doesn't go up, doesn't go down. It just bottles the heck out of me.
So true. So remember to buy organic as much as possible. Summertime, best time to do it. If you don't know what, you know, if you can't afford organic, like some places are really crazy expensive, like Canada, we just came back from, you know, check out the EWG website. They have something called the Dirty Dozen and Clean 15. It'll show which ones that you need to buy organic and which ones you can probably get away with, right? So that'll save you a little bit of money. After this short break, in the kids corner, Christy's going to share with us a water safety tip for kids. And then we're going to have Suzanne Garcia, life coach, and her specialty is on family and kids. So stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. Summer is here. Yay. Kids are out of school. It's hot and people are flocking to pools and beaches and lakes to cool down. Of course. Now, I want to bust a myth. I spent many years lifeguarding and teaching swimming lessons when I was young. And there's a huge myth and it's been perpetrated by Hollywood. And I want to bust it right now and make you aware. That myth is that when someone is splashing in the water and going, oh, help, or help, help, I need help, I'm drowning, or even, oh, help, help, I'm drowning, they're not drowning. They might be in trouble and need assistance, but they're not drowning for one simple reason. Their head is above water. If their head's above water, they can breathe, therefore they are not drowning. What is the biggest thing that happens is people don't realize if you're drowning, you're underwater. You know what parents can't hear if their kids are underwater? They can't hear them yelling for help. You can't hear them if they're underwater. So if you have this idea that, oh, I thought I'd hear them calling for help if they were in trouble. Yeah, you might hear them calling for help if they're in trouble. But if they're drowning, you're not going to hear them. You have to keep your eyes on your kids. You have to know where they are and what they're doing at all times, especially if they're little kids. Older kids, okay, you know, if they've had swimming lessons, they're pretty cool. But the little ones, make sure you keep your eyes on them because you will not hear if they are drowning. Number one myth. We want everybody to go home at the end of a pool, beach, or lake day, happy, a little sunburn, having had picnics, and really, really looking forward to the rest of summer. That's what we like. Okay, ciao for now, everybody.
Hi, my name is Suzanne Garcia, and I'm a certified professional life coach who loves to work with parents. Over 20 years of experience as an educator, raising my own two children who are now in college, and my life coaching certification have given me the experience and the knowledge to help parents on their parenting journey. As parents, we can face all kinds of different challenges, like discipline, communication, and finding life balance, to name just a few. I help parents navigate those challenges, and I work with them to discover their strengths and gain the confidence and clarity to make informed decisions, to address conflicts with ease, and to raise resilient, loving, happy, confident children. Our kids deserve the very best, and an investment in parent coaching is an investment in a family's happiness and success that will have a positive, lasting impact for years to come. So for more information, and if you want to get in touch with me, please check out my website at SuzanneGarciaLifeCoach.com. I can't wait to hear from you.
Welcome, Suzanne. I am so excited to have you here. Let me tell you, Suzanne is amazing. She has over 20 years of experience as an educator, middle school teacher, oh my, and she's the mother of two now college-age kids. She's a life coach who specializes in working with parents. How many of us could do that? Oh, yeah. And she loves helping her clients find balance in the child-raising years. Suzanne, it's quite a feat to raise kids and teach middle school at the same time. That is quite a feat. How did you find yourself balancing?
Well, in hindsight, I probably needed a parent coach. it was a lot of, communication was the key with my husband and with the kids. I mean, that is definitely the key. And I also stayed at home for a few years. So when they were little, I did stay at home with them until they were both full-time in school. So those little early years where it's really difficult, I was at home, so I didn't have to try to find that balance.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, I think, anyone who is lucky enough to be able to stay home with their kids when they're little, I think that is just an enormous gift, because it's good for you, it's good for the kids, it's just good for everybody if I know that not everybody can do that, but if you can, that's a wonderful thing. Yes.
And I think it's important to know yourself too, because I think you have the people who are like, I'm career, I'm going right back. And then they have the baby and they're like, no, I'm not going back. And then you have the people who think, I want to be a stay-at-home mom. And then they stay home for a little while, like, this isn't for me. And so it's about knowing what works for you. And there's no right or wrong. It's just, hopefully you have the ability to do whichever one works for you.
Definitely. It's it's important too that we model for our children that, we're not just sacrificing our lives for our children, that we're human beings and we have the right to have a life, because we're modeling for them that they have the right to have a life too.
100%. Yes. And I mean, as parents, you are your kids. I say this all the time. You're their first teacher. You're their most important teacher. You're the most consistent teacher. I mean, they're going to have a new teacher or a new group of teachers every year, but you're the one that's there for their whole life. And so it's important that you are modeling the kind of behavior that you want to see out of them, and modeling the kind of life that you want them to have as well, to, the best of your ability.
Absolutely. I have a question for you. Now that summer's here and the living is easy, as the song goes, I'm sure that every parent out there has experienced the "I'm bored" phenomenon about 2 days into summer vacation. And so I would like to know, don't you have some tips for parents about keeping it real?
Yes, I do. So I came up with a little acronym, keeping it real this summer. So the R stands for routine. The E stands for engaged. The A stands for activities and not screen time. And the L stands for learning. So, I could probably talk on all of those for hours each, but, I'll keep it short. So You know, the routine is super important. And I know, I mean, I definitely felt this as a teacher. You know, teachers are just as excited about the summer as kids are. You know, we might start counting down even before the kids do some years. But, you know, you have this idea of, oh, it's summer and I can just relax and we can just let everything go. And I think that's important because you do need to like slow down and have that time to rest and rejuvenate. But you do need to keep your routines as close to as possible as the school year, because otherwise when you try to go back to school, it's a nightmare trying to get back on that routine. Mm-hmm. And kids really, really thrive on routine. It seems like maybe it's boring to kind of do the same thing every day, but kids, that creates stability for them. That creates security for them. They like to know what's going to happen next. They like to be able to predict. So it reduces anxiety. It reduces stress when they know what's going on. So, you know, maybe you have a school year routine and a summer routine, but try to keep your days as, you know, as routine oriented as possible. You know, keep your bedtime routine the same. Keep your, maybe change your bedtime, but have a summer bedtime, mm-hmm. you know, meal times, that kind of stuff. Whatever chores they're supposed to do during the school year, they should still be doing in the summer, you know? So some of those things, try to keep them as close to then as normal as possible. And even when you're on vacation, you know, try, I know it's not easy, but you know, as much as you can, cause they'll be calmer and they'll be better behaved and you won't have as many meltdowns as well.
Exactly. Exactly. I always say, hey, I still have to do my chores, you guys. So you have to do yours too.
But don't go away.
Well, how about let's move on to engaged. What are some suggestions with engaged?
My suggestions for engaged is, you know, really engage with your family. Like try to have family time all together. Maybe try to be engaged one-on-one. Like maybe one person takes one or a couple kids and the other parent takes one or a couple kids. But just to have that time where you're really connecting with each other, put the devices mm-hmm. down. Put your phone down. Actually, you know, have a face-to-face conversation with your kids. It doesn't have to be like all day. I mean, if you are at home with your kids all day in the summer, you're not expected to like entertain them all day. That's crazy. Like that, you might lose your mind if you're doing that. But having some engaged time where they're really getting 100% of your attention is important. So, you know, even if it's just 30 minutes in the day, I mean, that's important for them. And it really fosters that connectedness and that togetherness that you want with your family, which then, you know, makes the love grow, creates memories. And, you know, something that I thought of that you could do, and, you know, there's no right or wrong way to do this. You could think about it and come up with all your own ideas, but like you can either as a family or even make this like a project for the kids, especially if you want them to kind of cooperate and work together. Have them create like a summer memory book. It could be a digital one. It could be like a scrapbook or a journal or something, but have everybody write down a couple of things each week, you know, like something funny or something that they loved or whatever. It could be every day. It could be once a week or whatever. Maybe put some pictures in it, but have them work together on that. And then you'll have this really cool memento from the summer. And then the other thing I was thinking, this is very teacher of me, obviously, but you know, it's a fostering writing skills, you know, and then you have this, if you make it a tradition, you would have this keepsake every year and you can see their progression. You know, you can see how their writing changes, how their creativity changes, how their interests change. And then you have the memory of all the funny things because, you know, you can't remember everything,
no.
You know, and if you get these things written down, then you're like, oh, I forgot when they said that. That was hilarious. You can go back and reread it.
I love that.
Everybody engaged.
Oh, I love that. Engagement makes the love grow. That is incredible. I mean, that right there. That's the bottom line.
I mean, I think the number one thing kids want is your time and attention.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you can give them some undivided attention, then you're going to be more able to have them go off and play by themselves as well, you know?
Definitely. Speaking of play, the A is for activities rather than screen time. I love that. Tell us more about
So that. Screen time, you know, is especially in the summer, the kids are home all day. And they think it's entertaining. I mean, they're so used to it. It's an addiction. We're all addicted to screens. I mean, everybody is. So you've got to make some rules on it and really establish guidelines for how long they're going to be on that screen. Because, you know, if you have even like, let's say you have middle school or high school kids that are at home alone all day. I mean, you've got to find a way to kind of control how much time they're spending on it. And even little kids. So my suggestion is to sit down, and this is like an engaged time with your family, you know, sit down one-on-one with each of your kids. Don't let the other kids get involved because every kid is unique in your family. Everybody has their own interests, their own things they like to do. But there's always that one brother or sister who like wants to talk for the other one. And so, you know, do this alone with each individual kid and make a list, like say to them, you know, what are all the things you love to do? Don't tell them why you're doing this, by the way. And just write down like all the things that they say are fun. And then if they say like playing video games, whatever, you're later going to cross those off. So you're going to later cross that off. But then you're hopefully you'll have like 20, 30 things on that list that they say they like to do. So then when you say, okay, your screen time's over, find something else to do. And you know, they're going to go, I'm bored. I don't have anything to do. There's nothing fun in this house. You know, all the things that kids tell you. You say, go look at your list that's on the refrigerator, on the bulletin board, or wherever it is, and find something from that list to do, because you told me yesterday that you like to do all of those things. And so then, you know, hopefully they can, it's going to take encouragement. And that's where coaching comes in, because anytime you're going to establish rules like that and change, you know, change the amount of time that they're going to be on the screen, they are going to resist that. They're going to give you a very difficult time. Kids don't like change. They don't like to have the rules changed on them, especially when they think they're getting cheated out of something. So, you know, when you go through that, call me, I will coach you through it.
Well, I have to say, for me personally, I think give your kids swimming lessons and enjoy pool time, because you cannot take a screen. Although I do see people in the pool with their phones, which I think is dumb, because if you drop it, you're going to have a problem. But but the kids out there are playing. They're playing. They have pool toys. They're enjoying. They're playing with each other. Yes. And the pool, and they'll spend hours out there. It's hot.
And the time flies, and they're having a great time. And
yeah,
and there's exactly. Just so many things that's happening there. You know, they're interacting with other kids, or having to learn to take turns and share and get along. And all of those skills are very, very important. And if they're just on a device all day long by themselves, they are missing out on all that socialization and all those, you know, how to get along with other people kind of skills.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is nothing that beats human interaction. Right. You know, absolutely. Okay. And on to L learning, and both of us being teachers. That's going to be a biggie.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I can't not promote learning, because that's just, I spent my entire career doing that. But, you know, learning can take all kinds of forms. So, you know, it could be that you go out in the backyard and you collect different leaves, or, you know, you look at different flowers on a walk, or, you know, there's so many things. But I will also say there should be some time put aside for what I would call structured learning. Your kids have just spent an entire school year with teachers that have been killing themselves to get your kids to learn this content and understand it and be ready for the next year. Then they leave for 2 months. And if they don't do anything, they have the summer slide. So they're going to lose 2 to 3 months of that content. So the way you keep that content fresh in their heads is you have them do, and this comes back to routine. You know, part of your daily routine is you're going to, depending on the age of the kid, you know, 15 to 30 minutes of time practicing some of these skills that you learned during the year. So, you know, there's books that you could buy, like summer workbooks that have all kinds of activities in them. You can, you know, buy specific ones for reading comprehension, a specific one for grammar, a specific one for math. You can even Google free worksheets for your kid's grade level and print those off the internet. Again, you know, you're trying to keep them off the screen. So I don't think I would put them on a program on the computer unless you're going to count that as part of their screen time. But, you know, it's 15 to 30 minutes. And again, there might be some resistance from your kids, and I can coach you through that as well. But the key is communication and explaining to your kids, you know, it's 15 minutes, 30 minutes of your day. You've got an entire day. You can spend some time on this, and this is going to help you. When you go back to school, you're going to be confident. You're going to remember everything that you were taught last year, and you're not going to, you know, you'll see some of the kids around you that are like, wait, what? What's a noun? Have we ever been taught what a noun is? You know, like that won't happen to you. And then, you know, I spent most of my career as a literature and an English teacher. And so reading to me is the number one thing. Like if you're not going to do anything with your kids, please, please, please make them readers. Like that is the number one gift you can give to your children. There, you just Google, you know, kid, what happens to kids who read 30 minutes a day? It's phenomenal, the statistics out there about how the kids who are reading 30 minutes a day leave the rest of the kids behind. And, you know, you don't want your kid to be left behind. And it's the simplest, cheapest, most easiest, you know, inexpensive, easiest thing you can do. And it doesn't have to be, you know, high level literature that they're reading either. I mean, you can let them read what they want to read. They're reading comic books or whatever you think might be like fluffy kind of reading. They're still getting vocabulary words introduced to them. They're still seeing plot and character development happening in any novel they read. If they're reading nonfiction, they're learning facts. They're learning about how the world works. So let them read whatever, even if it's not necessarily on their level, just let them read for 30 minutes. And one thing that I like to promote is Dear Time. And so Dear Time is drop everything and read. And that's another way that you can kind of engage as a family, because you can all say it's dear time and you just stop what you're doing. Everybody like meets in the living room or whatever. Everybody reads. And you can even have like a family novel that you take turns reading out loud or something like that too, to increase that engagement and that family time.
Yes. And you know, my background is with resource kids. So if you have a child who has any struggles with reading, I'm telling you guys, the library is your best friend, because you can check things out for free, but use audiobooks. I'm a big fan of audiobooks because the kid can relax without the stress of trying to decode the words on the page, but they still get all the benefits of the story and the imagination and the vocabulary, and it's still building their skills in a relaxed, fun way that they will love. So reading, number one thing. Yes, you guys, you read. Read, 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 read.
And if you have kids that don't like to read, you know, as parents, you can really encourage that by being good models of reading. So, and even parents, I have had a lot of conferences with parents who are like, well, I hate to read. And then of course your kids probably are going to hate to read too, because they're picking that up from you. So same thing with parents. I mean, find something that you like. You know, you don't have to, you can read whatever you want. It doesn't have to be, you know, whatever's on the book club list or whatever. Yeah. I mean, anything works.
And also go easier rather than harder. So if your child, if it's something easy for your child, that's better, because then they have success. And you can also share read and do goofy voices and fun, like things like that, to make it fun. It's super easy to make it fun. Suzanne, before we go to our biohacking tip, how can people get in touch with you? I understand you're offering a coaching call.
Yes. So I offer a free coaching call for anybody who's interested in coaching. It's about a 30-minute conversation where we'll just talk about what your goals are, what you want to achieve, and, you know, put an action plan in place to help you achieve those goals. And so, yeah, I think on the screen, you can see my email. You can see my website. On my website, there's all kinds of buttons to get in touch with me. So I think every page has one or two or three or four buttons to click on to get in touch. And then there's my phone number. You know, feel free to call me. If I don't answer, leave me a message.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Suzanne. This has been great.
Thank you.
Coming up next is our biohacking tip of the week. My favorite.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. It's Andy from Focal Academy. And on this week's biohacking tip, I want to talk about probiotics. So we talked about digestive enzyme last week and how important those are. So make sure you watch our last episode if you haven't watched that. But this week, we want to talk about probiotics
And probiotics is basically used to feed your gut, you know, your gut microbiome. You know, inside your gut, in your digestive system, you have good bacteria and bad bacteria, and probiotics feed the good bacteria. And what happens is we're getting more and more dysfunction, like gut dysbiosis, meaning that the good bacteria is going down and the bad bacteria is going up. And this is being caused from all the fast foods that we're eating. We're eating way too many sugars. We're eating way too many carbohydrates, which feeds the bad bacteria. And then, you know, on the good bacteria side, we're actually dropping them down because we're eating a lot of things that are diet, which use artificial sugars, which actually kills the good bacteria. And then there are other things that have studies have shown that can kill the good bacteria. And that is a lot of the vaccines that's out there. It can, you know, the more vaccines, some of the shots are shown to kill good bacteria also, which is a big problem. And of course, you know, we talk about glyphosate, which is in the Roundup, which is in all our foods. Guess what? They're designed to kill bad bacteria, which also will kill you good bacteria. So there's so many things going on to kill our good bacteria, making our systems very unbalanced. And when you're unbalanced, when you have more bad bacteria to good bacteria, you know, your gut becomes a little bit more permeable, meaning that stuff that's supposed to stay in your gut gets past the gut barrier and gets into your bloodstream. And this causes all sorts of problems. It causes brain fog, it causes joint problems, it can cause problems of losing weight. So if you're finding that you just can't lose weight, maybe it's just because you don't have enough good bacteria in you, right? So what can you do? Well, you know, to get better probiotics, you can eat like kefir, sauerkraut, yogurt. Those are the most common ways to get good probiotics into you to feed back your good bacteria. But for us, we like to make it more fun, and we also like to control what we put inside our bodies. So Minna's been making our own kombucha here. As you can see, there's a SCOBY in there that's basically, you know, it almost looks like a brain that's consistent of bacteria and yeast that ferments over time, and usually use green tea or black tea as the medium for the kombuchas. Give you a little bit of tangy, fizzy taste. Amazing. Very low in sugar. If you don't add sugars, because outside the kombuchas you buy outside usually filled with sugars. The other thing Minna's been doing is we've been making water kefirs. Kefirs are usually made with dairy, but since we know a lot of people are lactose intolerant or intolerant to dairy products, we decide to use water kefirs, and these are made with coconut water. And one of the fun things I want to show here is we're actually making a double fermentation of the kefir here. We're adding some fresh fruit, which actually gives you that fizz. And this is a great thing to do for nighttime. If you're feeling you need that nightcap, some people drink a glass of wine. Well, we break open one of these kefirs and we drink it down. It tastes like a little mimosa, a little cocktail, perfect to finish the night. And guess what? You get a little bit of fizz, you get a little bit of the alcohol, but most importantly, you feed yourself with probiotics. Anyways, we hope that you enjoy this biohacking tip, and make sure you sign on to Chronic Healthy Life. We have a great book as a free giveaway called Gut Matters. You get that will talk about all the digestive enzymes and the probiotics, and get your probiotics into your system, and you know, then maybe you won't be getting as sick as often and you'll be start losing weight. All right, till next time.
Hi, I'm Phil Masiello, and I'm the host of Think, Engage, Thrive, where we talk entrepreneurship and startups. Join me Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Achieve TV network for the best and most fun startup advice on the planet. Join us right here on E360 TV.
Welcome back to Chronically Healthy Life. So what do you think your interview with said?
You know, I think it was amazing. Like, I have to say my parents, they sucked. Like, no parenting skills whatsoever. And to be honest, that may be why we don't have kids. We don't have fur babies, because they did such a horrendous job with me. I did not want to give that to my kids too. But like, two of the things that she said, I think was so great. Like I think she called it a memory book, because logging those amazing memories will bring back all that nostalgia, all those things, because I can only remember just a couple of things that stand out. But if you ask what else was good, I don't remember. But having a memory book, especially now with phones, you can take pictures, you know, your online journals, I think that's amazing. And the last thing that she said, which was amazing, was the learning, was that deer time. Everyone pick up a book and read together. priceless, even though my parents couldn't reach English. But, you know, at least that would have made me read more. Right? I did not read at all as a kid.
Yeah, I mean, my parents weren't that bad. But, you know, they back in the day, they don't have to worry about our safety. But like Christy says, nowadays, safety for kids is a big concern.
That is so true. You know, back in the day, we just had to worry about looking the right way and don't get hit by a car when you cross the street, right?
Somehow the world's become really dangerous for kids. What do you think?
You know, I think nowadays going out to play, you know, you have to worry a little bit. You know, people were friendlier back then. You don't have to worry about, you know, being, you know, whatever it may be, you know, we can play all the way into the evening and not worry about it. And we're playing in the streets. You know, nowadays there's just a lot more dangerous people around that we need to watch for. And it's just a lot of dangerous situations you don't want to put yourself into as a parent, right?
And you know, it's not just the people. What about the air? Look at the wildfires in Canada, right?
Exactly. The air that we breathe, it's crazy, right? You know, like that's an air quality index. Depending on where you are, you should check it out. Normally, it should be like single digits if it's good. But, you know, once it gets past 50 to 70, a lot of people may think, oh, man, my allergies are acting up. Guess what? It's not the allergies. It's the bad air quality. And if you have asthma like I do, like I don't normally have no symptoms. But as soon as the air quality hits at 100, oh, my God, it's almost like an asthma attack. So it may not be allergies. It could be just a bad air quality.
Yeah, you know, air, they don't follow country lines. They don't have boundaries. They can come from Canada to the U.S. It can come from anywhere and to where you live. So, you know, you can't really prevent it, but you just have to be aware of it. And when the air is really bad outside, you know, you just try to stay inside.
I totally agree. And, you know, make sure you get a good air filter, you know, like an air cleaner. We have one of those in the house. So inside the house, no symptoms. Soon as I walk out the door, oh, my God. But, you know, the other thing is water quality, right?
Yeah, I mean, the water isn't all that great either, right? I mean, when we turn on the tap water, it's, what, full of
chlorine. You can smell it.
Yeah, we can smell the chlorine, and it's definitely not good for your health. And, you know, remember a few years ago, there's a nuclear explosion in Japan?
Yeah, Hiroshima, right? Like where they had the Kobe beef.
Is it?
It is. It is. Literally where the Kobe beef come from. So when people say, I'm getting Kobe beef, well, I hope it's not the original Kobe beef because you're eating, you know, eradicated cows. I hope that's the way they say it.
Well, I hope they move the cows. But, you know, I know Japan seems like a faraway place and it was, you know, the Pacific Ocean or anything. But again, water, like air, there's no boundaries. You can eventually come to where you are.
That is so true. And, you know, like the decay time, like the half-life of radiation is like hundreds of years, right? So you know there's a lot of radiation that's in the water supply that's going into the ocean, and it takes time to get over to this side, like to the west coast, more on the east coast now. So It'll probably eventually get to us if it hasn't already. But you know, if you even Google it, you start seeing these weird looking sea animals that's mutated like a movie. So things are happening, you just don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, you do an online search, you can just search for nuclear mutated sea animals, you see all sort of really weird pictures that I'd rather not show you in the show.
That is so true. So, you know, once again, we can't control the air that we breathe. We cannot control the water that we drink or that we're exposed to. But even when it comes down to the fish, right, the fish in the water, even if they weren't affected, guess what? They carry parasites.
Yeah. When we eat sushi?
We love sushi. So I can say if you eat sushi, if you're a sushi lover, I would guarantee you have parasites inside you right now.
Is that why we do the nasty parasite cleanse?
Exactly. We do a nasty tasting parasite cleanse twice a year. And to be honest, I think everyone should do it if you love sushi. You know, just because you're not seeing these huge worms coming out, it doesn't mean you don't have parasites in you, but, you know, it's a great way to cleanse out the parasites and the worms. And guess what? Those things actually will destroy your good bacteria, too. So, once again, the good probiotics will definitely help a lot, too.
Okay. I remember that.
Anyways, after this short break, we're going to have a chat with a local business, great friend of mine, and I love her mission and what she's doing. And it's so...
It's very cool.
Cool. Perfectly right now for summer. Stay tuned.
We all hope to age gracefully so we can enjoy our later years full of energy, vitality, and good health. But so often, with age, our bodies start to show signs that things just aren't as they used to be. Our energy, skin, healing and recovery time, sleep, it all just seems to go downhill. Unless you're using LifeWave X39, the world's first product ever to activate stem cells, a true breakthrough in regenerative science that helps restore our bodies to a healthier, more youthful state. The secret? By harnessing the power of LifeWave's patented phototherapy, X39 uses light to elevate a peptide proven to signal the activation of stem cells. Think about it. These are the cells that generate and regenerate all the cells and structures of the human body. They're the building blocks for our organs, tissues, blood, and immune system. They also serve as an internal repair system everywhere. But as we age, stem cells become less effective. Their ability to repair damaged tissue is reduced. In fact, by age 60, they've slowed dramatically. But all that changes when just one LifeWave X39 patch is placed anywhere on the body each day. It's time you experience the power of X39.
Hello, we are Mutts and Meows Rescue, a 501c3 nonprofit, foster base, no-kill group. Mutts and Meows Rescue pulls dogs and cats from surrounding shelters in the greater Houston area. We even pick up dogs and cats abandoned on the streets. Mutts and Meows Rescue is foster-based and rely on your donations to keep rescuing. To know more about us is to know more about our furry friends and help them find their forever homes. Come visit us at Mutts and Meows Rescue on Facebook today and decide how you can make a difference.
Welcome back to Chronically Healthy Life. Each week, we like to highlight a local business that we know and trust to help build out our community. This week, we have one of my best friends in Texas that I made. Her name's Jenny Rios, woman that wears many hats, that little Mutts and Meows, she's part of that too. But this week, we want to promote her new business, or a newish business, Tails and Paws Boarding. Jenny, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Great, great. So Jenny, can you tell us a little bit more about Tails and Paws Boarding and, you know, what your mission is and how are you going to be helping the community?
So my mission is to help make it easier for everyone to travel when they go out of state, out of the country. I welcome dogs and cats into my home. I do house visits once a day, twice a day, depending on the location, how far they are, the needs of that animal. I have taken care of dogs, cats, fish, reptiles, turtles, anything, babies. You name it. So I can, I'm not scared to go ahead and feed them cockroaches and all that.
Cockroaches?
I love it. As you can tell, she's got children in her house too, which is so amazing. So, you know, I think this is so great for this segment because we're talking about summer, you know, everyone's taking summertime off. This is usually when people start taking vacations and you start worrying about what about our fur babies? You know, not everyone carries one of the small little chihuahua poodles, whatever, that you can carry everywhere onto the plane. So, you know, like this is a great time for people that will be looking for, like, you know, most people look for kennels. So how is your boarding service different from people like putting them into a kennel and something like that?
So here in my house, we have a designated area, which is right now my living room. We have the dogs run free. They have a whole backyard. They get outside time several times a day. It's not just once, two, three times. And they're not set in a kennel where they're just going in a kennel, going outside, and then coming back in. It's they spend time with humans. They spend time with children. They spend time with other dogs. As long as those dogs get along with dogs, we do recommend special accommodations for senior dogs if they need to be set aside. We'll find a spot for them. whether it's a private room or we just make them a little kind of like a gated area for those little seniors. Usually cats, if cats don't get along with dogs, we'll set the cats aside. Right now I have a cat who he gets along with dogs, but my dogs are large, so he's a little bit kind of scared of them. So that cat is specified in my restroom, which is a master restroom, and it comes also in my bedroom. So he has all, you know, freedom to walk and run and do whatever he wants.
That is so true. And, you know, a lot of people you need to remember your fur babies. They're like kids. They need the added attention. I love how you provide that, right?
Yes.
So, Jenny, why don't you share a story on how you go up and beyond what a normal boarding, you know, a company would do, you know, because I remember you telling me a story the other day when you were helping me, and I would love you to share that story for all of viewers up there.
Yeah. So I had a German Shepherd come to my care. He stayed here before. The last time he was here was at about a week. This time he was staying for a week. His owners are moving. So he's under stress. And the morning they brought him, they told me he's under stress. I said, okay, no worries. I have plenty of experience with stressful dogs, anxiety, all of that, you name it. All day, you know, when he would go outside, he was fine. I watch all the animals in my care. They don't go outside without supervision. I was outside with him and he took off. He just jumped over my fence. Scariest moment of my life because I was worried he wouldn't come back to me. And of course he didn't. We were out. I was outside chasing him for a good hour. And not chasing, but following where he was going, you know, trying to see and maybe guide him back to me. Had his owners on the phone. Owners knew about it the moment it happened. I knew they would be understanding. I knew they would understand because they already brought me a dog that was already stressed. About an hour later, dog ended up on his street, which is the next street over. Owners are away on vacation. Called the owners and let them know, hey, we're in your backyard right now. He is home, but he doesn't want to leave. So owners had to let me in their home I was already pet sitting for them as well. So I just didn't have my key on me at that moment to let him in the house, but I let him in there. And the rest of the week, I brought him back home the next day. The rest of the week, I leashed him. When we were outside, I would just leash him because I was not taking that chance. He was very stressed, but he was wiggling his tail and all of that. You know, he was comfortable with me. It's just he wanted to be home. He was just very, very stressed.
Exactly. And that's the thing is, like, you know, Jenny is our go-to. She takes care of our four fur babies, our kids, because they're literally our kids. And, you know, she goes up and beyond to help them feel comfortable. She plays with them and everything. And I think that's important because, like, you know, a lot of us when we're traveling, you know, we think, oh, well, they'll be okay. Well, you know, if you're neglecting them, they're not going to be okay. And I'm sure many have seen Elsa, my little girl, and when she's not happy, she's not okay.
We know.
So, Jenny, what is the best way to support you? What's the best way to reach out to you and, you know, get the word out for what you do to help people out?
Best way to contact me, text messaging is best just because I have four kids and I'm always up and about doing something. And I will always get back to you through a text message. If you call me, I might not get back to you. But the best way to support me is to spread the word to your local friends here. I mean, I take care of dogs either whether it's 24 hours or a week long. You name it, I'm here. I'm here to help. I make house visits as long as it's no more than like 15 minutes, you know, from my location. But I have plenty of experience with any type of dog. I mean, I've seen them all.
I love it. Is that one of your cats or is that one that you're
this is my baby. Born? This is Pumpkin. She's very needy.
I can totally tell. Thank you so much for your time,
Thank
Danny.
Thank you.
Anyone out there that's looking to go on vacation and need someone to take care of their dog or their cat or maybe their snake or reptile, I don't know where it stops for you, definitely hit Jenny up at Hills and Paul's Boarding, right? Her phone number is right there. Her email is right there. Coming right back, we're going to have a little short break. Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you.
When we hear chronically, we tend to think about chronic diseases and pains, but it doesn't have to be. You can be chronically healthy.
having a chronically healthy life means everything to us. Life stands for longevity, independence, family, and environment. And when you have these four things figured out, your life is going to be beautiful.
Our biggest threat to our health is hidden in plain sight. It is in our water. We can't see the poison and the radiation in our waters, but it is hurting us. Our soils are so depleted of nutrients, and when our soils are depleted, so are our foods. Our air is filled with pollution and chemtrails, that there are days when we can't even go out and breathe the air. All these threats that we can't see, we can't hear, and we can't feel, but it is certainly hurting us.
There are more and more unexplained heart attacks, unexplained terminal cancer, unexplained young health adults suddenly dying for no explanation at all. Doctors are baffled. What happens when doctors don't have an answer? What happens if you ask your teacher a question and they don't have an answer for you? You go find your answer somewhere else.
And that's why we created Chronically Healthy Life. We are here to give you answers on how to keep you healthy and your family healthy. There is so much information, we can't tell you everything during our show, but we can keep you informed through our newsletters.
So go to chronicallyhealthylife.com and sign up for our newsletters. It is free and it is our gift to you. We want you to have a chronically healthy life, and we are here to help you get there. So go to chronicallyhealthylife.com and sign up. And when you sign up, you also get a free downloadable book, our book, Gut Matters, to start you on your journey towards optimal health.
Welcome back to Chronically Healthy Life. So here's a guest appearance of Patches. Hey, Patches, say hi. So your action item for today is just to make sure that you can add some probiotics in your body every single day to help you balance out of your, you know, your good to your bad bacteria in your digestive system. And of course, remember, we want about a 70% good and a 30% bad ratio.
So summer's here. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy your vacation. Do something fun and exciting with your family, with your kids. And of course, remember to be, you know, to eat healthy. And remember to, you know, be mindful of what your kids are doing and everything, right? I think that's so important for summer vacation. So next week, we're going to have Dr. Devin Young, a special guest that practices a specific type of chiropractic treatment. You're going to have to check it out. Come back here next Friday at 7 p.m. CST. You can watch past episodes at watche360tv.com in the Vitality and TV network. Also, we love to hear from you. You can give us your comments on our Facebook page, Chronically Healthy Life. Rewatch this episode on our website, chronicallyhealthylife.com, or even our YouTube channel. And of course, you can email us anytime at anything@chronicallyhealthylife.com.
We'll see you next week.